Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Easter on Zoom.
My name is Rachel. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. Shout out to the people from St. Pete, some of whom I recognize not from Big Book Step Study, but from, you know, OpenAA. It's so great to see you here. I love how small a world it is. I don't even live there anymore, but I'm back frequently. My name is Rachel. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 22nd, 2017. I have a sponsor. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. I sponsor others. I have a home group. I've been taking through these steps as they're laid out in the big book with that beautiful, wonderful sponsor and a higher power of my understanding. I've made my amends. I practice 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. I don't even know where to start. I'm not sure that I've ever shared on Bill's story. In fact, let me backtrack. I know I haven't shared on Bill's story, for better or for worse. I love the very first page. There's so much in Bill's story. I'm going to react live time when we're going to make it till 20 minutes. And then I cannot wait to hear what other people say, but I'm going to start off with this. Gosh, can't you just tell this guy's an alcoholic the way he reads? I mean, I've gotten in trouble a few times in meetings just saying that I recognize from the way Bill writes, I recognize him from the bar. I mean, I relate to the grandiosity. I relate to the salesmanship. I relate to the persuasion. I relate to the theatrics. So I get, oftentimes when I'm in a meeting reading Bill's story, I openly laugh because I mean, what about us? Am I right? Like, we really are a crowd. I fancied myself a leader. Like, who says that? That's crazy. But, you know, my happiness in being able to talk about Bill's story is that it's the first example of why we tell our story. And it's not because we have these great, impressive drunkalogs. I mean, rest assured, I used to think that I was this, you know, this fantastic deep person. You know, the most majestic constructions of philosophical thought were so derived in that drunken state on the next page. You know, I used to have that wonky perception of myself when I was drinking, that I was deep, that I was thoughtful, that I was troubled. And the truth was, you know, we got to get down to brass tacks. I was a sad, lonely, pathetic loser in a bar, and I could not stand living, and I could not stand how I was living. That's what other people's stories do. You know, Bill is obviously from the early part of the 20th century. You can tell I'm quite youthful still, and I'm not. Our stories are wildly different, but with every single alcoholic story that we listen to in meetings, it's not about bragging about the drunkalogue. It's not about hearing ourselves speak. It is about relating. It is about allowing new people to relate to our stories and think, oh my gosh, I have this thing. What do I need to do? And so with every story, despite the differences, there's a lot to which we can relate. That's because we share that common language that helps alcoholics in a way that nothing else can. And so whatever else I think about Bill, I can relate to so many different parts of this, even though his brand of drinking was different and his story was drinking. And I'm going to go consecutively because that's how I turn pages. I love this little beautiful moment just in the beginning where he reflects on one of the last times he really felt the presence of God before this whole story entails. And when we listen to other people's story and when we get to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, we really start to question our relationship with the higher power, if we have one, and what it means to us. And I'm very appreciative to have gone to this point that Bill did, to know that I was, for my own personal relationship that was revealed to me by working the steps, not that I needed one before working the steps, I know that God didn't abandon me. You know, I could very much see how I made decisions, and in prayer, I could almost hear God begging me not to do so. So when I think of myself as a victim of circumstance, which I really did coming into the fellowship, it's nice to be able to take that pause and think, was that God or was that me? Because I know I made a lot of calls that any God, certainly the God that I know now, but any God under the face of the earth and even nature itself would have protested against. I mean, the drinking of alcohol alone is an act of defiance in nature. It is poisoning ourselves. It is acting against our best interests, which Bill really highlights. So I love that moment. I love the description of you know this wartime era, the beginning of his career. I think what I can really take from that for myself is that it wasn't all bad. It wasn't all bad. Even the beginning of his career in the Roaring Twenties, you know, the booze is flowing. It wasn't all bad, and you know, I think I was actually that's why I'm in my car. I have a new sponsee who's still in a treatment facility. So the only time I could meet with her was the 45 minutes preceding this meeting. So I was just talking with her about this. It's a common misconception. You know, everyone has a very specific picture of an alcoholic. And it's like, oh, well, my drinking wasn't always that bad. It wasn't always that dramatic. That couldn't be me. Samesies, you know, when I think about drinking, I wish I could tell you, I think about being that sad, pathetic, lonely person in the bar, but I think about being drunk in the Keys. I'm passing out in a hammock. I don't know who's next to me, but we're having a good time. We're looking for cigarettes. We're, you know, I think of the Jimmy Buffett song, and that's part of my being an alcoholic. You know, the fact that that's the thought that I go to first indicates how sick I am, because alcohol damn near killed me. But so just to know that I don't have to pigeonhole my experience as an alcoholic saying I only needed negative experiences. That's not true. You know, when his alcoholism started to progress, which is such a critical component, I believe, of the real alcoholic that's described in this book, that we're in the throes of a chronic progressive illness. You can see the alcohol is having an effect on his life well before he connects the dots. I mean, I could relate to this too. Like when he almost fails his work, guys, we're in such trouble. I'm on page two. That's crazy. But he's sitting at his law test. And he's failing it, and he's not putting it together that it's my drinking. Oh, my drinking is already causing me problems. I can deeply relate to that. I mean, almost up until the point that I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't putting two and two together the way that an outside person was. Sure, drinking might be a problem, but it's not the problem. Look at my depression. Look at my relationship. Look at how I grew up. Look at my daddy issues. Look at these things. So the early onset of the delusion and the effects that alcohol start to take on my life well before I put I link the dots together, very relatable component here. You know, Bill thinks highly of himself, and I think highly of myself too. That's relatable. I also think very poorly of myself. I've said a lot in meetings, and I think it's great. The important component is that I think of myself. To note his arrogance, you know, like I read a book and I know exactly how people fail in the market. It's crazy that they haven't gained the system yet, but I'm sure I am, like, you know, okie pokey artichokey. And I say that, but like when you get to chapters like We Agnostic later on in the book, and they talk about how we have such extreme faith in our own decision making, I can recognize my arrogance in that way as well. You know, like I did trust myself to say where I was moving, the decisions I was making, you know, and they were motivated by making myself feel better. But what is that if not extreme arrogance? So whether I think highly of myself or lowly of myself, I'm making the calls and they're not good. You know, not and all of his drinking was bad. He benefited from the Roaring Twenties. Again, you know, when you look at chapters like Working with Others, and it talks about this idea that I can get sober regardless of my external conditions, you know, job or no job, wife or no wife. And I think that's great in terms of our recovery. I think it's also important to note in terms of our demise as well. Because, you know, Bill W. has never had it so good. You know, money is flowing. Booze is flowing. He has a wife by his own admission. He loves his wife. Great woman traveled across the country for him. His life's getting worse. You know, like his alcoholic condition, his problems are getting worse. And so I know that for me, when I came to AA, I really wanted to focus on those other problems and think that once I fixed those other problems, those things would get better. And I think that's part of the crucial honesty of the first step to understand the hand I'm playing. Okay. I could have more money. I could have that better job. My boyfriend could start treating me nice. And sometimes he did. And I'll tell you what, that's not going to fix my problem. And sometimes it's worth getting a bad case of the jitters to understand what I'm playing with. So Bill has it good, but things are getting worse. People are leaving. Fights with the wife. Loyalty to my wife helped a time by extreme drunkenness. I mean, what an alcoholic thing to say, but I digress. I think a lot of people focus on that whole geographical location thing. He got gold fever. He has the impeccable tan of the that once he's on the well-to-do. I love that line. Again, very artistic. And I know scores of alcoholics who traveled to find a better thing. I didn't travel. I did my drinking in St. Pete, Florida. Shout out again. But what I will say, and it's a point that I would hit later on when he talks about his experience with this friend who 12-stepped him, Abby. Alcoholics, we love an oasis. You know, when I look at my 4-step and my 10-step, you see that dishonesty over and over again. I'll be okay once. I'll be okay when. Alcohol, that is a very persistent dishonesty for me. And I catch myself doing it now. Like, I'll be okay once I'm finished doing this talk. You know, like I catch myself all the time. And so, whether it's before my drink, you know, I come to AA or it's after I come to AA, this idea of that next thing and then I'll be okay is really, an indication of just how much, poorly placed faith I have in my decision-making. Cause that's me managing, right? Like I have a good idea. I know when things will be okay. I don't have to work on God's plan. Cause I got a plan, whether I put it into words, whether I think about it consciously or not, I know what the next thing is. I know what's going to make me good. You know, it's just worth noting. I sure do. You know, this, when things start to get bad, gosh, there's just so much here. You know, you see things start to get bad, you know, on, you know, when the stock market fell, when the Great Depression really hit. I really can relate to the progression of this time when things no longer look good. I know that for me, you know, when the performance really, you know, entered act two, when a lot of the social aspects behind which I hid fell away, it was more of an acknowledgement that my body had progressed to a place that I didn't appreciate. And I was just waiting for that thing that proved it, you know? So he loses some economic comfort and that proves it. It shows just how bad he really is. For me, it, like I said, I had a fiance, we broke up. And from that on, you know, my drinking took on a different proportion. And that's because I was just looking at that thing to justify the next place. It wasn't because, you know, his drinking didn't get worse because the stock market crashed and mine didn't get worse because my fiance and I broke up. It's because that's where I was headed. And that was my new narrative. Look at what I'm going through. And I just love how he still really doesn't put it together for a certain amount of time. He's like, I just need to get that money back. Well, he got that money back and he lost that money, you know? And so again, on the external features that are going to fix my problem, you know, things are getting worse. And I really think it becomes persuasive when he realizes on page 5, he needs to stop drinking, you know? And I'm going to say right now, I never got to that place of consciously saying I need to stop drinking because I'm delusional. My drinking ruined my life and I didn't want to focus on the drinking. But I did know that I had to change. And this is where you start to see the futility. This is where you start to really appreciate just how powerless you are and how unmanageable your life has become. Because I can't take this anymore. He's like, I know there's no more illusion. I can't moderate. Like, I can't, you know, I can't plan my drinking the way I think. I need to stop drinking. Full sentence. And he's drinking again. You know, like there it is. And of course it just progresses. And when we look at our drinking, it progresses for all of us. So the fact that he, you know, started getting the jitters, that he started stealing from his wife's slender purse, these are details. You know, the fact is that it gets worse. I really like this. Yeah, slow down. I got to look, I got to make sure I'm not missing anything that I really like. Cause I like so much. No, we're good to move on. I like where he gets hospitalized in page 7. This idea that he's learned a little bit about alcoholism. And I'm going to say this because I've just been reflecting on it recently. You know, I do a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've learned a lot about alcoholism. I grew up with an alcoholic. I was a psych major. You know, I deal with alcoholics all the time. I read stuff, you know, like I know a lot about alcoholism. And I think that you can fall victim to the idea that self-knowledge will save you both inside and outside of these rooms. I really do. You know, I can sit here in meetings and I can learn a lot about alcoholism. If I'm not enlarging my spiritual condition, like it talks about later, I'm still messy, you know, like I can do the performance. And, you know, I love the humbling that comes from really understanding what your options are, that you either have that alcoholic life and death, or you pick up a spiritual toolkit. You know, like, we just don't have any time to waste. We don't have time to waste with semantics or niceties. You know, that's for the real alcoholic that gets to this place. Those are the options. That's it. This is the last house on the block. If you have another one, our hats are off to you. We are not a temperance movement. Okay. This is for when all else fails. And so, again, it's worth a bad case of the jitters to know that it's not about knowing better. You know, I might not have known everything, but I did know better in a lot of cases. And it sure didn't stop me from drinking, and it didn't stop me from a lot of stuff. Just a quick note, of appreciation. You know, back when this was written, the options for an alcoholic, a chronic alcoholic, were far fewer, you know, and I think a lot of times with treatment facilities today, we have a lot more options. And so a lot of times I think it can distract a person like me from knowing the gravity of my condition. What they used to do with people like us is they used to lock us up institutionally, like not the nice little Baker Act that I got. Okay. They used to lock us up. They used to, you know, we used to commit crimes for which we would be, you know, imprisoned, or we used to die of wet brain, which, you know, they can treat to a certain extent now, but not if you take it to the point of no return. Or we died by any number of ailments. I mean, there's a lot of ways to die of alcoholism, but the bottom line, you know, I think a lot of time, like, I know me, I couldn't pay my, I got to get him sober. Can you believe how fast this goes? But, you know, I know for me, I couldn't pay my own bills. You know, I benefited from the generosity of others. And so I never saw myself as being homeless. I never saw myself as being, you know, bankrupt, but that's what I was. And so, like, to understand that we're operating in a different society, but the nature of our condition is no different from what Bill was experiencing. Important, humbling, you know, I need a good picture of myself. I love this meeting. I gotta stop saying it like that. I love everything. But just the lack of perspective of an alcoholic. And I think it's so telling in this moment where he meets Ebby. You know, he's amazed that he is sober. He's absolutely amazed that he is sober. He last heard that he'd been committed for alcoholic insanity. First thing he does, pushes him a drink. The casual inconsideration of that. And that was me. You know, if you weren't drinking with me, what's wrong with you? You know, like, I might not, you know, like, whether I'm ignoring you or I'm actively trying to get you to be, you know, it's all about me. It's all about my comfort. And I just so casually do this. I'm not thinking about it at all. The way that he was approached here is so important. It lives on in the 12th step. It's protected by our traditions and a number of other things in this book. But the fact that there was no ranting, that there was no lecture to be endured, that there was no profit motive, that he only told of his experience and was a living example that a miracle had taken place was enough for Bill. Because now we go into Bill's, you know, deeply personal experience with the higher power business, with the God business, which is so personal to each person. But I know that for me, being approached in this way by another alcoholic, who did no lectures, who did no ranting, who was not a preacher, but, you know, told of a simple experience and a way out and allowed me the tools to really reflect upon, what does this mean to me? What does a higher power mean to me? Like, what does it mean in the face of my alcoholism if I truly understand what it is that I have? That was enough for me to make a start. You know, all I had to do was be willing, you know? And so the way that we approach other alcoholics in the 12 step, and it says it later, you know, why we go to meetings. We go to meetings so that other newcomers can have a place to fellowship. You know, you go for the first step, you stay for the 12th step. So that way that we interact with each other is so crucial. It's repeated time and time again, but I love it. You know, it was the idea of that miracle that got him to his own experience. I didn't have that burning bush moment. I had it of the educational variety. They talk about that later on in the book. They go through this very quick version of the steps here. And so I'm gonna close it up as quickly as I can. You know, Bill makes no secret that these are pretty drastic, revolutionary ideas, you know, simple but not easy. That's a forewarning, you know, like, you do this because you are convinced you're dying of alcoholism and because you need to run the experiment, not because you want to. My experience is that if I waited to be motivated for this, it wouldn't have happened and I would have died or be dying of an alcoholic death. The emphasis of working with other people, that you could not survive these certain trials and low spots of head if you fail to perfect and enlarge your spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. That is so not ambiguous whatsoever. And again, we live in a much cozier lifestyle today. And so the idea, to really understand, what is it to inconvenience myself and truly try to embody these ideas of altruism that are expressed in these books, to understand that it is a necessity. It's not a negotiable. It's a necessity to my recovery. Again, if I wait until I feel like doing that stuff, it's not happening. And I have seen so many people leave these rooms, not because things didn't get good, but because it did get good and they forgot that they still only have two options. Alcoholics are not martyrs. I could keep going on, but I'm not gonna, I'm here for a reason. It's because this works. Not because I'm creative, but because I follow this example. And the ability, the opportunity to listen to other people's stories, starting with Bill, and to see that ripple effect in others, there's nothing that will ever be more important. So thank you so much for allowing me to share on this.